Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God? Yes. Father, we open our hearts to receive that which you have for us this morning. We thank you as always for the Holy Spirit to unveil the Word of God to us, to unveil Jesus, the living Word, through the written Word. We thank you for the anointing to effectively communicate. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory. And we just ask you to move as you have been moving in any way that you so desire. We thank you for your presence that is here, Father God. We sense that already. And we give you praise for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. If you have not heard, and you probably have not, and I will mention this and more details maybe to come, but back in the 80s, you know, the Sandiford family, Matt and Margarita Sandiford, how many of you remember the Sandifords? Special, special part of this church for a number of years, very, very faithful, worked and served. Very, very special couple. Their oldest son, David, married one of our own, you know, Melissa Lundy. And they all moved to Texas, or, you know, and of course, I know Heather was very good friends. What was the second youngest daughter's name?
Lisa.
Martha, I'm thinking about Martha. Martha was a very good friend, spent the night at my house many times. But anyway, we found out this morning through Terry and Gary that we're very, very close to the Sandifords, that Matt was at his church working up on a high ladder and fell off and suffered internal injuries and then did not make it through the surgery process. So he's at home with the Lord this morning, praise God. Special, special man, beautiful man, and have fond memories of him. You know, it's always the same, especially with somebody that you really feel special towards. You can't help but rejoice through your tears, but you do have the tears. You know, the Bible says we grieve not. It doesn't say we grieve not. It says we grieve not as those that are in the world that have no hope. Well, we have hope. So we know where he's at. We know he's in heaven. We know his last breath here on earth was his first breath in heaven, so to speak. And he's doing a whole lot better than any of us. But remember the family. You know, think about just all of a sudden your husband or wife is suddenly taken from you. You know, think about that and have compassion for them and pray for the family. And, of course, there's a lot of husbands and wives married in and kids and grandkids that we don't even know these days. But pray for all of them. Like I said, years ago, but they were tremendous. They influenced all of us for good, for God, in very special ways. And we remember them. Praise God. You could find, if you would, Philippians chapter 4. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. Everybody say peace and joy.
Peace and joy.
Peace and joy. Thank you, Lord. What did I say, Philippians? Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Peace and joy, I hear the Lord say, are valuable, valuable commodities to you here on the earth and in this life. So let not your heart be troubled. That means you have a responsibility. Don't let your heart become troubled and agitated and disturbed by the things that are going around you. The things on a personal level, nor the things on a national level, says the Lord. But let not your heart be troubled, because you know me and you know my word and you know what I have promised you. Praise God. And you know the end and you know that victory is assured for you personally and for the world in the end of time. So in these troubled times, continue to maintain your peace. Glory to God. And let joy truly be unspeakable in your life and full of glory. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So rejoice and be glad. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. And do not be burdened down by the worries and cares and fears of this life. But look to me and trust me. And you'll experience the wonderful blessings of peace and joy. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Peace and joy. Glory to God. Everybody say peace and joy.
Peace.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, in other words. King James Bible says, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't have any anxious cares about anything. Don't be troubled with cares. Don't worry about anything. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then, see, first of all, you let not your heart be troubled. You cast your cares over on the Lord. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, I believe. Cast your cares over on the Lord. Amen. You refuse to worry. You refuse to allow yourself to be troubled and agitated about anything. Cast your cares over on the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord. Pray about it and believe God. You know, just don't believe it's in His hands and that He'll do what He... No, believe that He will keep His promises to you and that you'll get the desired result. And then the peace of God, which surpasses... Don't you like that? It surpasses all understanding. Glory to God. Amen. A lot of different translations say it transcends all understanding. In other words, there's no natural reason why you should have peace, but you've got the peace of God because you know what the Word of God says. Thank God for that peace. The longer I live, the more I value peace. I said, the longer I live, the more I desire and long for and value the peace of God. You know, Jesus died on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He died for our sins. And by His stripes we are healed. But Isaiah 53, 4, right in the middle of that, it says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But the chastisement for our peace, Amplified Bible says, the chastisement necessary to obtain our peace was also upon Him. Glory to God. Amen. We can have peace and should have peace. Amen. The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. When we think of that scripture, we usually think about the devil robbing us of health or robbing us of financial blessings or robbing us in this way or that way. But you know, one of the main things the devil does is he comes to steal your peace. He comes to steal your joy. Praise God. So again, Isaiah 53 says when Jesus died on the cross, He was bruised, He was crushed, He was punished for our sins so that we might, among other things, have peace. A lot of translations say total well-being. You know why? Because the word peace there is shalom. Hallelujah. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement necessary for us to have shalom, for us to operate in peace. And total well-being was upon Him. Thank God for that. Amen. So having peace that passes all understanding, and the joy of the Lord that's unspeakable and full of glory, and being carefree, and not living a life that's just strife and drama and always anxious, always agitated, always mad about something, full of fear, full of worry and so forth. I mean, having the peace instead of that junk is priceless. It's priceless. It really is. Because for a lot of people, I'm talking about Christians now. Listen to what I'm saying. For a lot of people, including Christians, their life is just filled with drama. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, drama, drama, drama. I hate that stuff. I'm talking about drama in a negative sense. I mean, they're fighting with somebody and fussing with somebody and arguing with somebody and dealing with this thing and gossiping about this and full of strife and bickering and arguing, and they're always upset and always mad at somebody, and or they're worried and anxious about this or about that. And to them, that's just normal life. That's not normal in my household. It never has been, praise God. But I'm telling you, and living like this leads to health issues and health problems. It can shorten your life. It really can. It leads to messed up relationships. It leads to all kind of problems in the mental, emotional realm and in other realms. And it's no fun to be around people like that. You ever notice that? Just mad, angry, fussing, fighting, you know, glory to God. And a lot of Christians may not be involved in the strife side of this equation, but they are continually anxious and worried and filled with worry about a lot of things. And even though they shouldn't be, they are robbed. They know they shouldn't worry. They've been taught that. Amen. But nonetheless, a lot of Christians that have been well taught in this area still continue to worry. Amen. And so they're robbed of peace. Well, all right, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll be at verse 43 in a second, Matthew. But let me give you a couple of things before we turn there. Let me just quote a couple of scriptures to you and to remind you of a couple of scriptures. James 1:19 says, we should be swift to hear, slow to speak. Everybody say slow. And slow to anger. Slow to anger. Amen. Like Brother Hagin used to say, most people practice that, but they practice that in reverse. But we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And so the very last part of this verse, because it sets up verse number 20, which people aren't quite as familiar with, but the very last part of verse number 19 says, slow to wrath. Slow to get angry. Slow to get angry. The Amplified Bible says, slow to anger. And then in parentheses it says, be patient, reflective, and forgiving. Should we be patient? Should we be reflective? That means think before you talk. Should we be forgiving as Christians? Amen. So be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Then verse 20 says, on the heels of that slow to wrath, it says, for the wrath of man, for human anger, in other words, the wrath of man does not produce or promote or accomplish the righteousness of God. Being angry, mad, upset, angry at people, that does not produce, that does not promote the righteousness of God. And then before we look at Matthew 5:43, let me remind you what Ephesians 4:26 says. It says, be angry and sin not. Can you do that? It says, be angry and sin not. Amen. And it says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. So can we stop from being mad? I mean, should we just be mad 24/7? How about politics? Should you be mad 24/7? Huh? Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Amen. So yes, we can stop ourselves from being mad. We don't have to stay angry. Glory to God. But if you nurse your anger and feed it and hold on to it, then you'll stay mad. How many of you know that's true? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever nursed your anger? I'll tell you what there. I see you can relate. And if you get mad, then you're going to do things you should not do. And you're going to say things you should not say, sometimes with some serious consequences. But you know something? A lot of Christians are just mad all the time. They're just kind of angry and ticked off and upset about things all the time, about their job, about their work, about their family, about their wife, about their husband, about their kids, about their finances, about Nancy Pelosi. And I understand. And a lot of times Christians are involved in a lot of strife, you know, but as you go right on down, I mean, we read, you know, Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Just a few verses later in verse number 32, it says, now this is the word of Almighty God. This is God himself talking to you this morning. Hear it with fresh ears. It said, be angry and sin not. Then verse 32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Can we do that? Should we do that? All right, with that background, let's read what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Glory to God. Peace and joy. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 43. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. If somebody spitefully use you, you know, we don't use that terminology much, but that means if they're unkind to you, if they're mistreating you in some kind of way, if they're being cruel to you, if they're doing something that hurts you or abuses you in some way, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So Jesus said we are to love our enemies. Don't hate them, but love them. Question. Is it wrong to hate people? Everybody can answer that out loud. Is it wrong to hate people?
Yes.
Not a trick question. So is it wrong to hate people in a political office? Are you sure? And stay mad, upset all the time, and lose your peace and joy over what they do and what they say. Some are becoming too politically minded. Now, hear everything I'm going to say, okay? Some are becoming too politically minded. minded. I notice that some people, you know, like on their social media posts and so forth, and there's a lot of that, a lot of different ways to do that. Besides posting pictures of what they ate for dinner last night, you know, or their kids, most of their posts are just political, about how mean the other side is. You know what I mean by the other side, don't you? The devil's side. That's fact-jacked. These same people used to post a lot of scriptures. They used to post encouraging things. They used to post things, you know, axioms, proverbs from the Word of God and sayings from the Word of God that would bless people and encourage people and help people. But I noticed that almost everything they post is political. It's just all politicals. But, you know, we have to remind ourselves, all of us, don't let politics become your religion. And don't lose your joy. And don't lose your peace. And stay agitated and mad over politics all the time. I mean, believe me, I could do that. It's not right to be angry 24/7. And it's certainly not right to hate anybody. Glory to God. As Christians, we are to show love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness. Isn't that right? I noticed, I saw a short little video clip. I don't know if you saw it or not, by Brother Copeland. And because I think some people had misinterpreted some of the things he would. It's all right to cry out against evil in the world. Sure we do. And we have every right as Christians to be involved in politics. But because people had maybe misinterpreted some things that he had said and so forth, he did a little short video clip and made it available. And he called Nancy Pelosi out by name. He said, I don't hate Nancy Pelosi. He said, I don't hate anybody. Anybody see that clip? I mean, he felt compelled and a need to do that. And he talked about that, you know. Somebody said, don't you care about the things that are wrong in this country and the incredibly wrong direction that people are trying to, the liberal, woke political leaders are trying to take us? Yes! I doubt there's anybody in this room or anybody hearing the sound of my voice that is more concerned about it and upset by it without being worried and fearful and anxious and mad than I am. Because it's anti-Christ, it's anti-God, and it's anti-Bible. And I'm again anything that's anti-Christ. I detest it. And I want to stand for truth, and I want to stand for what's right. Praise God. But I'd be disobedient to worry about these things. I said I'd have to be disobedient to worry about these things. I'd have to be disobedient to lose my joy and peace and stay mad at people and operate in and not operate in forgiveness and mercy and kindness. Amen. Staying upset and fearful and worried and operating in the strife and anything about this or anything else. I'm just getting into something I felt like the Lord wanted me to do. But or anything else. Your job, your family, or anything else opens the door to the devil in our lives and we should not allow it. Can you say amen? So yes, I despise those anti-Christ, anti-word, anti-God philosophies that come across under the name of woke these days and liberalism. I'm concerned about the border. Yes, I'm concerned about the police. Yes, I'm concerned about the military. I'm concerned about the education system. I'm concerned about the LGBTQ stuff being forced down our throat and on and on and on. But I do not hate people. Jesus said, love your enemies. Glory to God. That does not mean that you like what they say or do. I don't like anything they say or do. But you care about them, don't you? You don't want them to burn in hell forever, do you? You care about their soul, don't you? See, you care whether they're saved or not. And because I see these things, I am proactively using my faith and using my authority and using the power of prayer to pray for my nation and using the name of Jesus. And I'm getting out and voting. I'm doing all these things to bring about godly change. Can you say amen? But I'm not going to revolve my life around anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And my number one cause, and a lot of good calls out there, my number one cause is the cause of Christ. Because when people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they obey scriptural principles, then we won't have any problems in the world. And so I look forward to the millennial reign, don't you? Amen. Because right now people have a choice. Not everybody's going to choose Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I'm not going to lose my peace and joy over politics or anything else. Now, with that in mind, and that's just not even really getting into my message yet, but let's get to Matthew chapter 6. Although, we don't have to preach the whole Bible this morning, so don't get nervous in the service. Matthew chapter 6. Is that all right? Matthew 6, verse number 25. Very familiar passage. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Amen. Now, a lot of Christians, who they know this passage. We're going to come back and delve into it more later, perhaps next Sunday, probably, Lord willing. But a lot of Christians absolutely know that worry is a sin. Now, you know, I was watching this group because I'm on the road at my mother's house, and she has Christian TV on 24/7. And because of my schedule here, I don't always see that. Plus, I like to watch the Braves game sometimes. But, she had on this group, and they were having this panel discussion, and they were talking about Job. And this particular group, for whatever reason, they detest the Word of Faith people. And so they got down to Job, and they said, "Well, now here comes the Word of Faith people." And they talk about Job opened the door because he operated in worry and fear. And then these theologians, they're good guys. They're doing good work for the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate them. But these theologians with several degrees behind their name and godly anointed men that can preach the gospel under the unction and the anointing of the Spirit of God. But they begin to say, because they were so blinded in their dislike of the things that our camp teaches, they were like, "Everybody's worried about their kids. Everybody's afraid. Everybody's anxious about their finances. That's just normal. That's just natural." Now, I'm telling you, you take them out from under that situation where they just wanted to criticize the Word of Faith, and they would say, "No, no, 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 you should not worry. You should cast your cares over on the Lord. Jesus said, take no thought for anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Paul said in Philippians, worry is a sin." They would say that. But I'm just simply, besides venting, trying to say to you that a lot of Christians that absolutely know that worry is wrong and that worry is sin. You can look up in a Baptist commentary, they'll say worry is sin. That worry is sin and unhealthy mentally and emotionally and physically for us. A lot of Christians know that worry pulls you apart. A lot of Christians that know that worry anyway. They worry anyway about a lot of different things. And even though we're all very familiar, I know this group I'm preaching to is very familiar with what Jesus said here in Matthew chapter 6, I want to encourage you, because, again, we're not going to look at it all today. I don't even know how much we're going to see, but 6:25 through 33, the end of the chapter, 34, whatever. Go home and read that, and read it. You know, there's always something more to see. And Jesus, in essence, as I got into this and realized some things, he tells us exactly why people worry, even though they know they shouldn't. I never saw that aspect of it. I was at the dentist's office one time getting my teeth cleaned, and they lay you back, and you're looking up, and there's lights up there and all this stuff, and these things are all over your head, because so they can get to all their machines to drill and clean and whatever all they do, And so this particular, what do they call people that clean your teeth?
Hygienist.
Huh? Hygienist. This particular dental hygienist, she had put all kind of little stickers up there. I mean, they were little round stickers, little square stickers with little sayings on them. I mean, there was 100 of them up there. And I'm sitting there while they're working, and I'm looking and looking. And finally, I saw one that said, "Keep looking, there's always more to see." I'm telling you, there's always more to see. I don't care how many times you've read it, there's always more to see. The Holy Spirit will remind you of things. He will reveal new things to you and show things to you in a new light from the Word of God. And that's very powerful. I love it when that happens, don't you? And so I'm telling you, there's some very, very powerful things to see here this morning. And so if you really see and understand what Jesus is saying here, you'll understand why people continue to worry even though they know they shouldn't. So let's look at this. And let's allow, say, I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to help me see truth here. Because you should know the truth. And when you see the truth, when you really see the truth, it always makes you glory to God. Amen. You remember I quoted that while ago. I said, you know, Jesus said, I don't know if I quoted it or not, but Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Jesus gave us his peace. That's in, you know, over there in John. But he also said in that same chapter, he also said, let not your heart be troubled. In other words, don't you let your heart be troubled. Don't you let your heart be agitated and troubled and disturbed and anxious about anything. And then, of course, the Word of God tells us what to do so that you know, that's our part. You know, he gave us his peace, but he said, but if you do certain things, you're going to lose your peace. So don't let your peace be disturbed. And the Word of God tells us what to do so that our peace won't be disturbed. And so part of it is found right here when he says, I say unto you, therefore, do not worry. Or as the King James Bible says, take no thought. Take no thought. Glory to God. Have you ever worried about any of these things Jesus said don't worry about? You know, clothes and food and housing and paying your bills and the necessities of life. I just got my new insurance bill for my home. Comes due this time of year, my situation. Over $300 more than it was last year. Did not make me happy. You know, and so... And in the natural, I wanted to, not because I couldn't afford to pay. I can afford to pay it. But I wanted to be agitated about it and upset and lose my peace about it, lose my joy about it, and be a little anxious about the cost of things and inflation and everything going up. You know, I just got back from vacation. I mean, you know, I'm paying $3.80 and $3.90 and close to $4 a gallon for gas. And so my insurance going up and the gas prices being high. You know, my mind is, there's no reason for this. This is because of wrong and stupid decisions. Let me say that in a nicer, because I'm talking about not losing. This is unnecessary. And so, I do want to be a little anxious about the cost of things and stew over it, lose my peace and lose my joy and get mad at the politicians and who I consider to be at fault for this. You know. My insurance agent, Brandy Cavett, a lot of y'all know Brandy. And she said, well, Pastor Mark, everybody's went up, you know. She said, you know, we can change your deductible from $1,000 to $1,500, and I can save you $150. She said, I put mine up to $2,500. I went, geez, why don't we just put it up to $100,000 and not even have insurance, you know. And so I said, no, just leave it alone. I'm fine. But you know, the reason I did not get upset and I did not lose my joy and I did not lose my peace because I changed channels in my mind. Instead of focusing on that and thinking about that, you know, later we'll get into this, but Jesus said, take no thought saying. Don't take negative, wrong thoughts in any arena, in any area. Say, in this case, it would be like, what are we going to do? How are we going to afford that? What do they think we're made of? Money? They think we got a money tree out back? And on and on and on and on, you know. No, I changed channels. I changed my thoughts. Glory to God. See, I kept my focus on God. I kept my focus on the Word. I kept my focus on His promises. And I refused to take the anxious thought. I refused to take the fear thought. I refused to take the angry thoughts. And I stayed in faith. Praise God. And that's why I always pay my bills. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I mean, if you're thinking about it, I'll give you a little clue into the future because we're going somewhere else today. But, you know, Jesus said, you know, when he goes on down, he says, why are you worrying? He said, consider the lily. What is consider? Stop and look at some. Consider how God takes care of nature. Consider the birds. You ever seen a bird on a, when you leave today, if you see a bird on a limb or a bird on a wire or a bird on the ground, you won't see him anxious. He's not worried. He's not sitting there worried about where he's going to get his next meal. Yeah. Twiddling his little wings, you know. That's a good image. But as you read this, he said, look at the bird. Quit looking at your problem. Quit looking at the circumstance. Look at the birds and how God feeds them. And change channels. Don't take the thought. Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. So he says, take no thought. Take no thought, of course, means don't be anxious. Take no anxious thought. Don't be worried. Jesus said, don't worry about these things. Take no anxious thought about these things. We all think and make plans. I mean, you know, if you didn't make plans about these things, you'd never buy groceries. You know, no, you make a grocery list. When you make a grocery list, you're thinking about these things. When you make future plans, that's wisdom about retirement and so forth. You know, you can get into worry about that, but you don't have to. You can make why. That could be great wisdom, and it is wisdom, praise God. So what he's saying is, don't take any anxious thoughts. Praise God. Don't worry about these things. Don't get in fear about these things. Don't become agitated and troubled and lose your peace and joy over these things. And he's going to show us, as we get into it, why we shouldn't take anxious thoughts. Amen. That are very powerful. And we'll get into that. But let's just focus on that thought this morning. Take no thought. Take no thought. Let's just finish with that. Take no thought. Take no thought. If we think on wrong thoughts, you will worry. If you think on wrong thoughts, you will worry. If we consider and look at and think on our needs, our lack of finances, inflation, and high prices, you will begin to worry and be troubled. Are you listening to me? And this is true in every area. What I'm about to say now, this is one of the greatest truths you can ever learn, and this is true in every area. You don't have to think on, you don't have to dwell on every thought that comes to your mind. Aren't you glad? I said, you don't have to think on every thought that comes to your mind. You don't have to entertain every thought that comes to your mind. You don't have to dwell on every thought that comes to your mind. You don't have to think on that thought and take it just because it comes to your mind. All kind of crazy thoughts can come to your mind. Wrong thoughts, fear thoughts, sinful thoughts. You don't have to dwell on them. Listen. Nobody got an answer. How many of you like to get answers to prayers? Yeah, I mean, if you need an answer to prayer, you need it. You don't get answers to prayer thinking on and looking at the problem. You don't get miracles looking at and thinking on the problems. You don't have faith to receive the promises by looking at the wrong things, by meditating on the problem and the circumstances. You don't have provision. You don't get healing. Those things don't come as you look at the problem. Glory to God. None of these things come as you're thinking about lack and worrying about things. But you are going to think on something. He's a friend, you know, Charles Cowan, and Charles has preached at this church, and Charles is in Nashville, and, you know, Charles has just preached at camp meeting for Brother Hagin. He's preached for Brother Copeland before, and Charles said he was preaching over here at New Life one time, and he was talking about thoughts, and he said to the guy on the front row, he said, how many thoughts have you had this morning? Because it's like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning when he's teaching this class, and the guy said, I don't know, maybe four or five, and Brother Charles said, I looked at him and said, been kind of a slow day, hasn't it? By 10 o'clock in the morning, we've all had hundreds. The guy just didn't know what to answer. We've all had hundreds of thoughts. Amen? So you're going to think on something. You can't just not think on a wrong thought. You can't just not worry. You must replace wrong thoughts with God's thoughts. Say that out loud. Say, I must replace wrong thoughts, worry thoughts with God thoughts. So you're going to change your channel mentally and quit looking at whatever it is that's robbing you of peace. I'm not talking just in general. I'm talking to you this morning right now. Quit looking at this morning, today, whatever it is that's robbing you of peace. Whatever that happened at the job, whatever that happened in some relationship, whatever has happened in the political arena, whatever's happening in the economy, quit looking at whatever it is that's robbing you of peace and start focusing your attention on the truths of God's Word. Amen? It's interesting because we're about through now. Hang with me. The Greek word translated take no thought means don't worry, don't be anxious. But if you were looking for a literal translation, it means don't be drawn away, literally. Don't be drawn away. In other words, don't be drawn away by distracting thoughts that cause you to worry. Take no thought. Don't be drawn away by distracting thoughts that cause you to worry or that lead to worry. I want to say it again. Don't be drawn away. Don't be pulled apart. You could translate it literally that. Don't be pulled apart. Don't be divided in your heart. Don't be divided and distracted and drawn away by distracting thoughts that cause you to worry. If you look at and think on the wrong things, it'll turn your attention and thoughts away from God and what His Word says. And then you'll be robbed of your peace. You'll be robbed of your joy. You'll become anxious and troubled, and you'll be robbed of faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So relative to this passage, just you know it in general, what it says. What this is saying to us, we'll look into it deeper. But what this is saying is, listen, God takes care of all of nature. Amen. He takes care of the birds. Monkeys aren't worried about where they're going to get their next banana from. He takes care of the animals. You don't have to worry and fret about those things. You are of much, 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 much more value to God than the animals. Now, the world may think differently, but you are much more valuable to God than the animal kingdom. You rule and reign over the animal kingdom. God loves you. God cares for you. He knows that you have need of these things. The very things that the people are worrying about in the world, God, and anxious about in the world. And you know, when they're thinking about finances, they're not thinking about just scraping along and living on, you know, barely get along street. No, they're thinking about having a good quality of life. God knows that you have need of these very same things. Amen. Verse 31, 32. He knows that you have need of these things, and He will meet your need. He will take care of you, and He will take care of things that are beyond your control. You remember in this passage, we'll get to it, that He said, why are you worrying about your height? You're not going to change that. There are certain things that are beyond your control. He has cast the care over on the Lord and depend on Him and trust Him. God will bless you richly. He will take care of you. From His viewpoint, He's going, you're worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to put on? Am I not God? See, if you'll look at the right things, you'll have faith. And if you have faith in Me, then all these things will be richly and abundantly supplied to you. Amen. All you have to do is walk in the light, walk with Me. Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your faith will open the door for God to abundantly supply what you need. If you'll consider that He loves you and that He cares for you and that He promised to supply all your need abundantly and take care of things that are beyond your control that you can't do anything about. Glory to God, your faith will open the door for God to abundantly supply your every need. So stay out of strife. Listen to me. Don't get bitter. Don't get sour when life is unfair. Life is unfair to all of us. You know, sometimes you'll see about to be college football season. Sometimes you'll see somebody and it proves out to be true as time goes on. So it's not just my opinion. I'm going, that shouldn't have been the starting quarterback for that team. They chose the wrong guy. They promoted the wrong guy. And then as the years go by, the guy that I'm thinking should have been the quarterback, he goes on to, you know, some other college to glory and goes on to the pros and becomes a major superstar. And the other guy, you know, just doesn't mean he's a bad guy. I'm just saying he, as far as athletic ability, he just kind of fades away. Don't get bitter in life. Don't get sour because something didn't go your way. God's got your back. God's on your side. Keep confessing and saying, I have the favor of God over my life. I've got favor with God. I've got favor with men. I'll not lose out in the end. God is with me. Don't get sour and bitter when life is unfair. Stay out of strife. Don't lose your peace. Don't lose your joy. Don't worry about anything. Remain faithful. Do your part. Just go ahead and do your job and do it with joy and cast your cares all over on the Lord, and God will take care of you and make things turn out for your good. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. That's enough for this morning. Stand up. Stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast your cares over on the Lord because He cares for you. I think it's the Philip translation. It says, cast your cares over on the Lord for you are His personal concern. God is concerned about you. But if you get sour and you get bitter and you get into doubt and you get into fear and you get into anxiety, you close the door to God and you open the door to the devil. You got to think God's thoughts and you got to do it God's way so that He can move in and rush in and help you like he wants to. You follow that? I'm going to say it again. When life treats you unfair, don't get sour. Don't get bitter. Don't stay out of strife. Don't lose your peace. Don't lose your joy. Don't worry about anything. Remain faithful. Glory to God. Just continue to do your part. Do your job. Do it with joy. Amen. Cast your care over on the Lord and he will promote you. Cast your care over on the Lord. In recent years, we've heard some good teaching from Rick Renner and others about what cast really means. You know, because cast is like, you know, fling it violently away from you. But you know, if you look up cast in just the dictionary, that's what it means. Cast in the dictionary means to throw with force, to fling, to throw with violence. You walk into a spider web and you feel something in your hair like it's crawling around. I saw this little video yesterday, and I mean, this is somewhere in Africa or somewhere, I guess, and this spider is like this big around. It's got these long, you ever seen one of those? It's got these long legs on it. And I don't think it's real, but it's a guy walks up to somebody, and what he does is he you know, he's got a little clip to it, and he clips it to the back of the guy's shirt with a string on it, and then he throws that spider on him. The guy went bananas. You know, he just like everyone, you know, trying to throw it off of him, but it doesn't go off because it's clipped on. So he runs and he trips and he falls and he rolls and he runs into a tree. I mean, it's hilarious, but it's to me. But he's trying to get it off of it. That's what you have. You got to violently fling worry and anxiety off of you, because how many of you know what flypaper is? You know, it just kind of tries to. You're trying to get rid of it. It just wants to stick to you like it's attached to you. And so you got to be forceful. You got the violent take the kingdom of God by force. You got to say, I'm getting rid of this. Get it off of me. Get it off of me. Get it off of me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So this morning, I had this thing in my heart strong. And then that was a psalm, peace and joy, peace and joy. Whatever it is that's trying to make you angry this morning, that's got you upset, that's bothering you, that's causing you to worry, do what the Word of God says. Be anxious for nothing. Cast the care of your care over on the Lord. And then we want to combine this, because I had this real strong in my heart in order to help you. I want you to see what's trying to steal your peace, what's trying to steal your joy, what's trying to agitate you. I want you to see that. Maybe it's a politician's face. I want you to look at it, and as an act of faith, I just want you to laugh. Maybe it's your checkbook. Maybe it's your boss. Just look at it and laugh. If you can't do anything else, just by faith say, ha, 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 ha. Just laugh at it. Cast it over on the Lord. I'm not going to be worried about this. I'm not going to be anxious about this. I'm not going to be anxious about that child. I'm not going to be anxious about that daughter. I'm not going to be anxious about my finances. I'm not going to be anxious about this country. Glory to God, I cast the care of that over on the Lord. I put it in His hands. I believe the promises of God, and I'm just looking at that situation. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Just laugh at it. Laugh at it. Because if you'll walk with God and keep His biblical principles, nothing can keep you from being blessed by God. Nothing can keep you from God's favor. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing can stop your advancement and promotion. Nothing can cause you not to be abundantly taken care of by the Lord God. So laugh, laugh, laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Laugh at it. Hallelujah. Laugh at the devil. And anything that says differently than what God's Word says. Ha, 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 ha. Hey, hey, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not concerned about, I'm not worried about anything, praise God. I've got peace. Let me sing this hallelujah. I've got peace. Let me say, I can't do that now. I thought of this little song this morning. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. Got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. Sing it. A little bit and rest in the Lord and have the peace that passes understanding and joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, praise God. Amen. You want to be strong in the Lord, then operate in joy. Hallelujah.
Peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. 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 Joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain, I've got joy like a fountain in my soul.
Now, do it real fast, peace, love, joy.
Do it really fast?
Fast, faster.
Okay. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Peace.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean.
Hallelujah. Yeah, I've got peace, love, joy like a river. Somebody get us this microphone here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Joy forevermore.
Stronger and stronger in you.
Amen.
Your light will so shine before men. They'll start laughing in joy and dancing and shouting because of your light in you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
But I came to say that I've been diagnosed with it affects walking, at least of all running. But I said, no fear. I may have run slower, but I did run. So you may run slower, you may walk slower, but you run. You run for the joy of the Lord. He's your strength.
I've got peace, love, joy.
I've got peace, love, joy like a river.
I've got peace, love, joy like a river. I've got peace, love, joy like a river
in my soul.
Yes, peace, love, joy.
I've got peace, love, joy like a river. I've got peace, love, and joy like a river.
I go to the restaurant and it's half full and they tell me there's a 30 minute wait, I'm just going to smile. Margaret said hallelujah. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you Jesus, hallelujah. If you're saved then you know it, lift your hands to heaven. We're not going to hell. We can rejoice about that forever. Bible says, they don't do that to the church I go to. This ain't your church. I was preaching a funeral at a First Baptist church, and, you know, good, wonderful, wonderful people. But I'm, you know, this is a funeral, so I mean, we're not having a Holy Ghost camp meeting, but I'm just, you know, I'm preaching, and I'm going, hallelujah. Just, amen. And glory to God. And I realized, ain't nobody into this. You know, they just look at me like, oh, I mean, not one person ever. 300-400 people there, you know, maybe 500 people there. I don't know what to do. Huh? Are you free in your mind and heart? 100% this morning? Say 100% or we have to go for another 30 minutes.
100%.
Are you free in your mind and heart this morning? Amen. God bless you. Go in that freedom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.